The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
You can't have missed the warnings that effectively every winter bug that has ever been known is waiting to pounce this winter because we are all, to a small degree, immunocompromised by having been locked down. According to scientists in the UK, children particularly may be more susceptible to common illnesses this winter because of what they describe as an immunity debt built up during last year's lockdown. Well, joining me to talk through what we can expect to see this winter is General Practitioner Ilona Duffy. Morning, Ilona.
Good morning, Anton.
Will you walk us through the smorgasbord that awaits us between now and January?
Well, I suppose GPs, we kind of dread September time anyway. Usually this is all pre-COVID because it tends to be the time when children go back to school, start mingling and mixing, and all of those viruses start presenting with the coughs, the colds, the snuffles, the gastroenteritis, the viral eye infections. And that's something we kind of prepare ourselves for. But we know that within a short period of time, the children will have met a few viruses and developed a little bit of immunity, and they'll move on. And I think every parent out there knows what it's like when their child initially goes to creche or starts in school. They'll have a few months with one infection repeatedly after another. And for parents, it can be very difficult because they feel like their child is always going to be sick. But suddenly, that all stops. And these kids now have developed a bit of immunity and are able to fight the infection without getting symptoms and without getting ill. Our problem at the moment is that because children have been isolating for so long with reduced kind of contacts with each other through play dates, through meeting friends, through school being kind of a little bit more distance and having the pods up until now, and then obviously a long summer, it has meant that they haven't met a lot of these common viruses that they would normally meet. And the prediction is that we're going to see children at that little bit sicker with these common viruses, from the common cold type symptoms to the gastroenteritis to everything that's similar to COVID, unfortunately. And that's where the difficulty lies. They have matching symptoms, the fever, the dry cough, the snuffles, everything like that could be COVID or it may not be COVID. And I think that's where we're going to have this difficulty over the next few months.
You outline quite the spectrum, because I don't think, other than the possible confusion with COVID, nobody is desperately frightened about the common cold. Gastroenteritis, on the other hand, is something not to look forward to.
It's not. So gastroenteritis in general is a viral infection that affects the gut, and typically children and adults can get it and will present with diarrhea, so loose bowel motions and tummy cramps. They may or may not have high temperatures, and they may be vomiting also. But again, they don't have to have all of those. Sometimes it's just the vomiting, sometimes it's just the diarrhea. So the most important thing in children, and especially babies, is hydration. We've got to ensure that they don't become dehydrated. And similarly, older members of our community are those who have underlying health illnesses like chronic kidney failure. It's really important that they're getting enough fluids. Now, when we talk about fluids, we're talking about replacing not only the water part of the fluid, but also the glucose, the energy part, and some of the salt. So when people have very severe gastroenteritis, and especially older children and adults, there are replacement solutions like Dioralyte and things like that available through your chemist, but you can make your own. So again, the World Health Organization would recommend that people can make their own with kind of cold boiled water, a tiny pinch of salt. So if you've kind of like 200 mils of water, enough salt that would be between your thumb and your little finger, and a spoonful of sugar, or maybe some cordial if it's for a child, and that might make them drink it. And getting to drink small sips, because remember, if your stomach is kind of going into cramps because it's about to vomit, and part of the gastroenteritis part is that cramping, if you fill it up all of a sudden with a fluid, it'll reflexly spasm and spew that out, and you'll vomit it up and therefore won't be able to absorb that. But by slowly taking sips of this fluid, you'll absorb it in and therefore prevent yourself getting dehydrated. What are signs of dehydration? In a baby especially, it would be dry nappies. So if we find that over a 12-hour period a baby hasn't had a dry nappy, we'd be saying that's really a matter of concern. If they're becoming floppy, if they're becoming kind of unrisable or a bit more drowsy than they normally would be, again, it would be cause for concern and to contact your GP or your GP out of hours. And finally, if they have a temperature, be careful to manage the temperature. And I think one thing with the onset of COVID is every house has a thermometer now, which is something many families mightn't have had before. But I think use it and be sure to treat the temperature if the child is unwell with it.
Can you give me a medical expert's view on a thing? A number of people have maintained to me that the illnesses that children get in creches are markedly worse and more symptomatic when they make their way into the adult. So I've heard a lot of parents saying, oh no, my child has X. That means while they're going to be relatively mild, I'm going to be in the bin for the next week. Is that true?
I don't think so. I think everybody responds differently to the different viruses they meet, and a lot of that is dependent on their underlying health. So if they're a well, healthy person, they're going to be better able to fight any infection. But also it's dependent on if they've met it before. So, I think, yes, we'll tend to find teachers will often complain that when the school restarts, they are more likely to pick up head colds and kind of typical mild viral symptoms as well. But again, like the children, they build up that bit of immunity. For us as doctors, if we're out, let's say, on leave, maternity leave and extended leave, you come back and you always find you'll have a run of infections. But all of these are mild viruses that we're able to fight, and they're not usually of any cause of concern. I think this winter we're probably going to see a little bit more of maybe ones that can cause a little bit more severe symptoms in the younger children, things like bronchiolitis, where they can have quite marked wheeze and perhaps be quite short of breath. So I think what we've got to do is prepare for that and know when to seek medical advice. And the HSE have a wonderful website called undertheweather.ie, and it's a really good resource for all parents and adults as well with regards to themselves, because you can go in and it'll tell you what are the different symptoms that are associated, let's say, with gastroenteritis, how to manage that. If you have a cough, what to do? When do you need to contact a GP? What are the worrying signs associated with that? If your child has an ear infection, do they need an antibiotic? And the answer is no, 80%. Or viral, but how do you handle the pain that they're in, and when do you know to contact your GP? So I think that is there and offers really a lot of advice, and especially for those who might be thinking, gosh, should I be contacting the doctor? And knowing that, I recognise it is very difficult to get hold of doctors at the moment because we're so busy that trying to get through on the phone lines, trying to get an appointment is challenging at the moment, and therefore what we want to do is be able to see those who need to be seen, and I think this will help.
Well, it's interesting you talk about that, because in a while later on the show, we're going to be talking about how the Irish Pharmacists Union says that their minor ailment scheme could free up 1 million GP appointments annually if it was taken up. Before you go, Ilona, in respect of the coming bad news, is there anything that can be done in terms of prophylaxis, or do we just lean into it?
There's really been very little to be shown. You know, there were all kinds of studies done with regards to virus if taking vitamin C helps and other multivitamins. And really, I don't think there's any data that shows any of that is going to change the outcome of things. I think it's be aware, check temperatures, treat the symptoms if they need to be treated. And most importantly, at this point in time, if anybody does have symptoms of a viral infection, remember it may still be COVID. And the only way to know it's not COVID is by getting a COVID test. It's still easy to get that. You can self-refer through the online portal in the HSC website, or you can contact your GP or GP out of hours and we'll do it for you. But the most important thing as well is that you stay home, you don't go out, you don't go to school and you don't go to work until you get that negative test.
Ilona, thank you very much. That is Ilona Duffy, and the website that she mentioned there again was undertheweather.ie.